Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Watson and the Ten Commandments. We finished the fifth commandment last time. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20, verse 12. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on with the sixth commandment today. And so I'll go ahead and start. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20, verse 13. In this commandment is a sin forbidden, which is murder, thou shalt not kill, and a duty implied, which is to preserve our own life and the life of others. The sin forbidden is murder, thou shalt not kill. Here, two things are to be understood, the not injuring another nor ourselves. Right, Roman numeral one, the not injuring another. Number one, we must not injure another in his name. So in the person's name, or injure their name, their good name. A good name is a precious balsam. It is a great cruelty to murder a man in his name. We injure others in their name when we calumniate and slander them. David complains, they laid to my charge things that I knew not. Psalm 35:11. The primitive Christians were traduced for incest and killing their children. They were accused of it. As Tertullian says, they charge us with infanticide and label us incestuous. Of course, erroneously. This is to behead others in their good name. It is an irreparable injury. No physician can heal the wounds of the tongue. Number two, we must not injure another in his body. Life is the most precious thing, and God has set this commandment as a fence about it, around it, to preserve it. He made a statute which has never to this day been repealed. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man's shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9, verse 6. In the old law, if a man killed another unawares, he might take sanctuary. But if he killed him willingly, though he fled to the sanctuary, the holiness of the place would not defend him. If a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Exodus 21:14. In the commandment, thou shalt do no murder. All sins are forbidden which lead to it and are the occasions of it. As number one, unadvised anger. Anger boils in the veins and often produces murder. In their anger, they slew a man. Genesis 49:6. Number two, envy. Satan envied our first parents the robe of innocence and the glory of paradise, and could not rest till he had procured their death. Joseph's brethren, because his father loved him and gave him a coat of divers colors, envied him and took counsel to slay him. Genesis 37:20. Envy and murder are near akin, therefore the apostle puts them together. Envyings, murders, Galatians 5:21. Envy is a sin which breaks both tables at once of the law. It begins in discontent against God and ends in injury against man, as we see in Cain, Genesis 4, verses 6 and 8. Envious Cain was first discontented with God, by which he broke the first table, and then fell out with his brother and slew him, and thus broke the second table. Anger is sometimes soon over, like fire kindled in straw, which is quickly out. But envy is deep-rooted and will not quench its thirst without blood. Who is able to stand before envy? Proverbs 27, verse 4. Hatred. The Pharisees hated Christ because he excelled them in gifts. This is number three, hatred. And had more honor among the people than they. They never left him till they had nailed him to the cross and taken away his life. Hatred is a vermin which lives upon blood. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel, Ezekiel 35, verse 5. Haman hated Mordecai because he would not bow to him and presently sought revenge by getting a bloody warrant sealed for the destruction of the whole race and seed of the Jews, Esther 3, verse 9. Hatred is ever cruel. All these sins are forbidden in this commandment. Question, how many ways is murder committed? Answer, we may be said to murder another 12 ways. Number one, with the hand. As Joab killed Abner and Amasa, he smote him with the fifth rib and shed out his bowels. 2 Samuel 20, verse 10. Number two, with the mind. Malice is mental murder. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. 1 John 3:15. To malign another and wish evil against him in the heart is murdering him. Number three, with the tongue, by speaking to the prejudice of another and causing him to be put to death. Thus the Jews killed the Lord of life when they inveighed against him and accused him falsely to Pilate, John 18, verse 30. Number four, with the pen. Thus David killed Uriah by writing to Joab to set Uriah in the forefront of the battle, 2 Samuel 11:15. Though the Ammonite's sword cut off Uriah, yet David's pen was the cause of his death, and therefore the Lord tells David by the prophet Nathan, "Thou hast killed Uriah," 2 Samuel 12, verse 9. Number five, by plotting another's death. Thus, though Jezebel did not lay her own hands upon Naboth, yet because she contrived his death and caused two false witnesses to swear against him and bring him within the compass of treason, she was the murderer, 1 Kings 21, 9 and 10. Number six, by putting poison into cups. Thus, the wife of Commodus, the emperor, killed her husband by poisoning the wine which he drank. So many kill little children by medicines that cause their death. Number seven, by witchcraft and sorcery, which were forbidden under the law. There shall not be found among you an enchanter or a witch or a consulter with familiar spirits. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 and 11. Number eight, by having an intention to kill another, as Herod, under a pretense of worshiping Christ, would have killed him. Matthew 2, verses 8 and 13. So when Saul made David go against the Philistines, he designed that the Philistines should have killed him. Saul said, "Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." 1 Samuel 18, 17. Here was intentional murder, and it was in God's account as bad as actual murder. Number nine, by consenting to another's death, as Saul to the death of Stephen, Saul who became Paul, to the death of Stephen, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, Acts 22:20. He that gives consent is accessory to the murder. Number 10, by not hindering the death of another when in our power, Pilate knew Christ was innocent. I find no fault in him, he said, but did not hinder his death. Therefore, he was guilty. Washing his hands in water could not wash away the guilt of Christ's blood. Number 11, by unmercifulness. By taking away that which is necessary for the support of life, as to take away the tools or utensils by which a man gets his living. No man shall take the upper or the nether millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life, Deuteronomy 24, 6. Or by not helping him when he is ready to perish. You may be the death of another as well by not relieving him as by offering him violence. If you do not feed him that is starving, you kill him. How many are thus guilty of the breach of this commandment? And number 12, by not executing the law upon capital offenders. A felon having committed six murders, the judge may be said to be guilty of five of them because he did not execute the felon for the first offense. Question, what are the aggravations of this sin of murder? Answers, number one, to shed the blood of another causelessly, as to kill another in a humor or prolic. A bee will not sting unless provoked, but many, when not provoked, will take away the life of another. This makes the sin of blood more bloody. The less provocation to a sin, the greater sin. Number two, to shed the blood of another contrary to promise. Thus, after the princes of Israel had sworn to the Gibeonites that they should live, Saul slew them. Joshua 9, verse 15, 2 Samuel 21, 1. Here were two sins bound together, perjury and murder. Number three, to take away the life of any public person enhances the murder and makes it greater, as to kill a judge upon the bench because he represents the king's person. To murder a person whose office is sacred and comes on the king of heaven's embassage, or the murdering of whom may be the murdering of many. Herod added this sin above all, that he shut up John the Baptist in prison, much more to behead him in prison, Luke 3, verse 20, to stain one's hands with royal blood. David's heart smote him because he did but cut off a lap of King Saul's garment, 1 Samuel 24, verse 5. How would David's heart have smitten him if he had cut off Saul's head? Number four, to shed the blood of a near relation aggravates the murder and dyes it or colors it of a deeper crimson. For a son to kill his father is horrid. Parricides are monsters, so parent killers are monsters in nature. I believe Cicero said, he who takes away his father's life commits many sins in one. He is not guilty of murder only, but of disobedience, ingratitude, and diabolical cruelty. He who striketh his father or mother shall be surely put to death, Exodus 21:15. Then how many deaths is he worthy of that destroys his father or mother? Such a monster was Nero, who caused his mother, Agrippina, to be slain. Number five, to shed the blood of any righteous person aggravates the sin. Hereby justice is perverted. Such a person being innocent is unworthy of death. A saint being a public blessing lies in the breach to turn away wrath, so that to destroy him is to pull down the pillars of a nation. He is precious to God, Psalm 116:15. He is a member of Christ's body. Therefore, what injury is offered to him is done to God himself, Acts 9, verse 4. Though, however, this commandment forbids private persons to shed the blood of another, unless in their own defense, yet such as are in office must punish public offenders even with death. To kill an offender is not murder, but justice. A private person sins if he draws the sword. A public person sins if he puts up the sword. A magistrate ought not to let the sword of justice rust in the scabbard. As he should not let the sword be too sharp by severity, so neither should the edge of it be blunted by too much lenity, or leniency. Neither does this command prohibit a just war. When men's sins grow ripe and long plenty has bred surfeit, God says, so when they're plenteous and they become wicked and sinful, God says, sword, go through the land, Ezekiel 14:17. He encouraged the war between the tribes of Israel and Benjamin. When the iniquity of the Amorites was full, he sent Israel to war against them, Judges 11:21. Use number one, it should be for a lamentation that this land is defiled with blood, Numbers 35:33. How common is this sin in this boasting age? England's sins are written in letters of blood. Some make no more of killing men than sheep. In thy skirts is found the blood of the poor innocents, Jeremiah 2:34. Janius reads it in Alice, and so in Hebrew, in thy wings is found the blood of innocents. It alludes to the birds of prey, which stain their wings with the blood of other birds. May not the Lord justly take up a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because blood touches blood? Hosea 4, verse 2. There are wholesale murders, and that which should increase our lamentation is that not only man's blood is shed among us, but Christ's blood. Profane, flagitious sinners are said to crucify the Son of God afresh, Hebrews 6, verse 6. Number one, they swear by his blood, and so, as it were, make his wounds bleed afresh. Number two, they crucify Christ in his members, his people. Why persecutest thou me? Acts 9, verse 4. The foot being trodden on, the head cries out, Christ's body. And he is the head and is the church and his people as his body. Number three, if it lay in their power, were Christ alive on earth, they would nail him again to the cross. Thus men crucify Christ afresh, and if man's blood so cries, how loud will Christ's blood cry against sinners? Use number two, beware of having your hands imbued in the blood of others. Question, but such a one has wronged me by defamation or otherwise, and if I spill his blood, I shall but revenge my own quarrel. His answer to that, if he has done you wrong, the law is open, but take heed of shedding blood. What? Because he has wronged you, will you therefore wrong God? Is it not doing wrong to God to take his work out of his hand, out of God's hand? He has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, Romans 12:19. You would undertake to revenge yourself, would be plaintiff and judge and executioner in yourself. This is a great wrong done to God, and he will not hold you guiltless. To deter all from having their hands defiled with blood, consider what a sin murder is. It is, number one, a God-affronting sin. It is a breach of his command and trampling upon his royal edict. It is a wrong offered to God's image. In the image of God made he man, Genesis 9:6. It is a tearing God's picture and breaking in pieces the King of Heaven's broad seal. Man is the temple of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6:19. The manslayer destroys God's temple, and will God endure to be thus confronted by proud dust? Number two, it is a crying sin. The voice of blood cries to heaven. There are three sins in Scripture which are said to cry: oppression, Psalm 12:5, sodomy, Genesis 18:21, and bloodshed. This cries so loud that it drowns all the other cries. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, Genesis 4:10. Abel's blood had as many tongues as drops to cry aloud for vengeance. This sin of blood lay heavy on David's conscience. Though he had sinned by adultery, yet what he cried out for most was this crimson sin of blood. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Psalm 51:14. Though the Lord visits for every sin, yet he will in a special manner make inquisition for blood, Psalm 9:12. If a beast killed a man, it was to be stoned, and its flesh was not to be eaten, Exodus 21:28. If God would have a beast stoned that killed a man, which had not the use of reason to restrain it, much more will he be incensed against those who, against both reason and conscience, take away the life of a man. Number three, murder is a diabolical sin. It makes a man the devil's firstborn, for he was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. By saying to our first parents, ye shall not die, he brought death into the world. Number four, it is a cursed sin. If there be a curse for him that smites his neighbor secretly, he is doubly cursed that kills him, Deuteronomy 27:24. The first man that was born was a murderer. And now art thou cursed from the earth, Genesis 4:11. He was an excommunicated person, banished from the place of God's public worship. God set a mark upon bloody Cain, Genesis 4:15. Some think that mark was horror of mind, which, above all sins, accompanies the sin of blood. Others think it was a continual shaking and trembling in his flesh. He carried a curse along with him. Number five, it is a wrath-procuring sin, 2 Kings 24:4. It procures temporal judgments, phocas, to get the empire, put to death all the sons of Maritius, the emperor, and then slew the emperor himself. But he was pursued by Priscus, his son-in-law, who cut off his ears and feet and then killed him. Charles IX, who caused the massacre of so many Christians at Paris, died from blood issuing out of several parts of his body. Albonia killed a man and made of his skull a cup to drink in. His own wife, soon afterwards, caused him to be murdered in his bed. Vengeance as a bloodhound pursues the murderer. Bloody men shall not live out half their days, Psalm 55:23. It brings eternal judgments. It binds men over to hell. The papists make nothing of massacres because theirs is a bloody religion. They give a dispensation for murder if it be to propagate the Catholic cause, the Roman Catholic cause. If a cardinal puts his red hat upon the head of a murderer going to execution, he saves him from death. Let all impenitent murderers read their doom in Revelation 21, verse 8. Murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We read of fire mingled with blood, Revelation 8, verse 7. Such as have their hands full of blood must undergo the wrath of God. Here is fire mingled with blood, and this fire is inextinguishable. Mark 9:44. Time will not finish it. Tears will not quench it. And so that was the end of point two, in not injuring another. We must not injure another in his body. And now point three, we must not injure another in his soul. This is the greatest murder of all, because there is more of God's image in the soul than in the body. Though the soul cannot be annihilated, it is said to be murdered when it is deprived of its happiness and is forever in torment. How many are soul murderers? Number one, such as corrupt others by bad example. The world is led by example, especially by the examples of great ones, which are very pernicious. We are apt to do as we see others before us, especially those above us, probably those in authority. Such as are placed in high power are like the pillar of cloud, where that went, Israel went. When great ones move, others will follow them, though it be to hell. Evil magistrates, like the tail of the dragon, draw the third part of the stars after them. Number two, such as entice others to sin. The harlot, by curling her hair, rolling her eyes, and laying up open her breasts, does what in her lies to be both a tempter and a murderer. Such a one was Messalina, wife to Claudius the emperor. I discerned a young man, and there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot, so she caught him and kissed him, Proverbs 7, verses 7, 10, and 13. Better are the reproofs of a friend than the kisses of a harlot. Number three, ministers are murderers who either starve or poison or infect souls. Number one, that starve souls. Feed the flock of God which is among you, 1 Peter 5, verse 2. These feed themselves and starve the flock, either through non-residing, they do not preach, or through insufficiency, they cannot. There are many in the ministry so ignorant that they had need to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God, Hebrews 5:12. Was he fit to be a preacher in Israel, think ye, who being asked something concerning the Decalogue, answered, he never saw any such book. So was that a person who should be teaching, someone who hadn't even heard of the Ten Commandments or Moses' law? So that was that starved souls. Number two, that poisoned souls. Such are heterodox ministers who poison people with error. The basilisk poisons herbs and flowers by breathing on them. So the breath of heretical ministers poisons souls. The Socinian, who would rob Christ of his Godhead. The Arminian, who by advancing the power of the will would take off the crown from the head of free grace given by God. The Antinomian, who denies the use of the moral law to a believer as if it were antiquated and out of date, all those poison men's souls. Error is as damnable as vice. There shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them, 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Number three, that infect souls by their scandalous lives. Let the priests which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, Exodus 19:22. Ministers who by their places are nearer to God should be holier than others. The higher the elements are, the purer they are, air is purer than water, fire is purer than air. The higher men are in office, the holier they should be. John the Baptist was a shining lamp, but there are many who infect their people with their bad life. They preach one thing and live another. They make a show of goodness, but live a life of riot. Like Eli's sons, they are in white linen, but have scarlet sins. Some say that Prester John, the Lord of Africa, caused to be carried before him a golden cup full of dirt, a fit emblem of such ministers as have a golden office, but are dirty and polluted in their lives. They are murderers, and the blood of souls will cry against them at the last day. So that was point three, ministers are murderers. And number four, such as destroy others by getting them into bad company, and so make them proselytes to the devil. Our vices leap on to the man next to us, said Seneca, apparently. A man cannot live in the Ethiopian climate, but he will be discolored with the sun, nor can he be in bad company, but he will partake of their evil. One drunkard makes another, as the prophet speaks in another sense. I set before them pots full of wine and cups, and said unto them, drink ye wine. So the wicked set pots of wine before others, and made them drink till reason be stupefied and lust inflamed, Jeremiah 35:5. Such are guilty of the breach of this commandment. How sad will it be with those who have not only their own sins, but the blood of others to answer for. And so much for the first thing forbidden in the commandment, the injuring of others. All right, and that is where we will plan to stop. That's where we will stop for today. And Lord willing, we will plan to go on to the next point in the next reading. But until then, go in contemplating in a carefulness about our thoughts about others and our thoughts and actions toward God and others. And Lord willing, we will talk again soon.